Now, as we just heard, Puerto Rico is still continuing to recover from the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. Much of the island is still without power, and the death toll has been climbing.
For a Wisconsin doctor and his wife visiting their family on the island, they witnessed the devastation firsthand.
Dr. Julio Bird joins us now. He's a cardiologist at the Gunderson Health System Heart Institute in La Crosse, and he was in Puerto Rico when Maria hit. Dr. Bird, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
How did you and your wife wind up in Puerto Rico during the actual brunt of the hurricane, Hurricane Maria?
Both of us have a lot of family still living on the island. And even though we've been gone for nearly 40 years now, we stay very much in touch, trying to make a couple of trips every year. This actually started out as a well-planned semi-vacation trip. We made arrangements for the trip sometime in February, and we were going to just enjoy the company of family and the nice tropical weather as the weather got colder in La Crosse. But we then found out that Hurricane Irma had gone through and had done a fair amount of damage. Even though it didn't have highly destructive winds, it had knocked down lots of trees, etc. So we decided that we'd make it a working vacation. We had already our plane tickets and everything. And we went there, and we were going to initiate some of that work when we found out that there was this other tropical storm they were calling Maria that was threatening to become a hurricane. And, you know, hope springs eternal, so we thought, well, it'll probably develop into something, but it'll go north, as they want to do most of the time. But found out that, no, that indeed it looked like all the models would indicate that there was going to be a strike. So that's 2 days prior to arrival, so there's very little time to make any changes in schedule, and certainly no time to hightail it out of town for various reasons.
And you had a lot of family there that you wanted to be near.
Exactly. Yeah, we were there with family, so it's not like you say, well, sorry, we're heading off. You guys do your very best. That's kind of not in either one of our wiring. So we decided, well, we could help get through the storm and all those things. And so we stayed. And not that even if we had wanted to leave, it would have been impossible to leave. So so we stayed and then had to endure the strike of Maria.
And we're talking about winds that were 120, 150 miles per hour. You were in a concrete house. What was the experience like being inside, hunkering down while this hurricane hit?
Well, to me, it looked like out of a scene out of a submarine movie, you know, the ones where there's a depth charge attack and everybody's running around fixing leaks.
Hmm.
Well, that night, I mean, there was about a 20-hour time frame for the hurricane winds, and it's not the force in any given gust, but it's actually the constant pounding that has an impact on people. I was pretty much too busy fixing broken windows and at least trying to plug them so that we wouldn't get drenched inside the house and running around trying to secure any kind of loose objects outside that could further break materials or actually endanger the structural integrity of the house. So it was a sleepless night. And mostly a sleepless day as well, as it made its path. The eye just went slightly south of us, but that put us close to the fast gusts that happen close to the vicinity of the northern portion of the eye. And of course, you hear thumping every so often. It was a tree hitting the house, etc. Mm-hmm. The house was safe. There was no structural damage other than window damage and the consequent leaking in of water. And it's funny, water driven by a 140-mile-an-hour wind gust drenches you very fast, very rapidly.
Yeah, and you were out in it fixing shingles
we were, it felt like we were outside when we were inside if a window broke, because the amount of wind and water that came in through that particular hole was immense. I mean, we dealt with about five broken windows that night. We're able to get them plugged up with whatever we could find, cloth or tissue or trash bags, et cetera. And then we're able to you know, withstand the. The winds were not a problem from our perspective. I mean, they knocked down a few trees, and there were some trees strewn about the yard, et cetera. But fortunately, there was no impact damage of any significance anywhere.
And what did you see when it had finally passed and those difficult hours were over? You went out and you took a look around. What struck you?
Well, it looked like the place had been bombed, essentially. I mean, there were very few trees left standing. All the trees were bare, no leaves on them. Some of them, the bark had been stripped from the tree. So you weren't used to the nice browns of a tree trunk, but they looked very pale and yellowish as they were denuded by the wind speed. And, of course, a lot of branches, large ones, et cetera, littering everything around you. And, you know, an eerie quiet after the pounding for about 20 hours, which sort of gave it a kind of a surreal feeling to the whole scenario.
We're talking with Dr. Julio Bird right now. He's a cardiologist at the Gunderson Health System Heart Institute in La Crosse. And he and his wife were in Puerto Rico when Maria hit, and they stayed for some time afterward. And Dr. Bird, the U.S. response to the catastrophe in Puerto Rico has become controversial, and there are differing attitudes coming from the White House and from some people in Puerto Rico. What is your assessment about how the United States has done rendering aid in the aftermath?
Well, by way of a general awareness, I mean any slow reaction or even regular reactions to damage and lack of basic needs anywhere is accompanied by a great sense of anxiety regarding the speed at which things are handled. In the defense of those that are trying to do their very best, one has to say, well, Puerto Rico's an island, so you can't really have a convoy of trucks coming in to aid, as you might have in the continental U.S., where the situation's in Houston and Florida. One could put together an army of trucks, if you will, and make one's way to help the affected communities. The island poses some limitations to that effect, even though there was some planning early on. There was a hospital ship and some other ships sort of awaiting duties, and they were en route to Puerto Rico before the hurricane hit. Nevertheless, the problems, a lot of them have had to do with infrastructure. I mean, the loss of communications because of the loss of cell phone towers, et cetera, and then the loss of electrical power because most of the wiring on the island is above ground. So, even concrete poles were snapped in half by the force of the wind. And then the lack of water, et cetera, as well as the flooding and the deaths related to flooding, added a lot of severity to what was going on. So, yes, there is some criticism as to the effectiveness of those measures. A lot of the ineffective consequences of the measures have to do with the fact that if I could describe the infrastructure of support services in Puerto Rico, it's reduced to a thin veneer that is easily scratched. And the problem has a lot to do with the fact that with the financial issues that the island has faced, there have been cost containment measures that have had to be carried out by the government and others. That meant a reduction in force of many of the organizations and agencies providing support, infrastructural support. So, for example, there had been 1,500 people laid off from the Department of for Electrical Services, for Power Services. And, of course, shortly after the hurricane had gone by and everything, there's ads for and recruitment posters for 1,800 necessary bodies. So the timing of this hurricane was almost designed to prove the shortcomings of a general and perhaps excessive response to the financial situation on the island. In addition to that, diesel fuel became an issue, and most hospitals were forced to go to diesel fuel. to support their activities. And of course, that takes priority over anything else. But a lot of the other power generation in the island has a lot to do with diesel-powered electrical generators.
I want to ask you before we lose our time together. The president had made some remarks a week or so ago saying that, in a sense, Puerto Rico was spared. It didn't face the kind of catastrophe on the scale of a Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
And I wonder what your response to that, well, that is, and what you've been hearing from your family in Puerto Rico about that.
Well, let me put it in the context of my practice as a cardiologist. If I were to tell to somebody that has just had a heart attack, I say, well, I know yours was bad, but I've seen worse. That's not really, that's faint praise, I guess. and I think that those general off-the-cuff comments don't necessarily help recognize the fact that each society that experiences something of this nature is actually needing help at the time and not necessarily exculpatory or minimizing comments. So, I mean, that was a sad thing. I presume that sometimes people's statements do not reflect their true heartfelt intentions, but so be it. There's need to sort of be able to filter a little bit of the idle commentary. The other thing that offended some people, and maybe perhaps more than just some, was the fact that a comment was made that the island people had just were sitting around waiting for help rather than taking action themselves. And that is not what I witnessed. I witnessed the whole island develop a community attitude and actually initiate whatever measures they could take to protect those that had been hardest hit. And whenever they could be accessed, try to have one community help another. So I saw people rise to the occasion, and I think the comment did not help in terms of general feeling about the level of sympathy or perhaps empathy with the situation on the island.
Dr. Bird, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Julio Bird. He's a cardiologist at the Gunderson Health System Heart Institute in La Crosse. He joined us today to talk about his firsthand experience surviving Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. If you have a story, your own or maybe a friend or family member who was in Puerto Rico for Hurricane Maria is still there now, we would love to hear from you. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR or send us an email, ideas@WPR.org. You can also message us on the Ideas Network Facebook page.